Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And the summer month is on. In Prashanti, it is hot. Yes, it is hot. Temperatures are going up about 35 degrees, 37, 38 during the day. And it's not so cool in the nights either. It's really a hot and humid time. But that has not stopped devotees from thronging to this divine hamlet for two celebrations in two consecutive days this week. The Tamil New Year Day on April 14th and Kerala New Year Day Vishu on April 15th. And like always, for the Tamil New Year Day, Sundaram Bhajan Group was here to offer their music to the Lord in the morning and evening. In fact, their program in the afternoon consisted of a drama entitled Sai World Vision. And before the drama was a talk by Brother Balaramachandran, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, a gifted singer who is now part of the Sundaram Bhajan Group. He sang in front of Bhagwan for many years during his years as the student, undergraduate and post-graduation in the Vrindavan and Prashantinilayam campuses of Bhagwan's University. He graduated in 1999. And Brother Balaramachandran began with a beautiful thought conveyed through a song in his mellifluous voice. And given the nobility of that beautiful expression, I thought it would be nice for us to listen to that again. In case you have heard it on April 14th, it is worth listening to it again. And if you have not heard, well, you will like this.
Har pal har kshan भूल करे हम हर पल हर क्षण भूल करे हम पग पग ठोकर खाए एक पग आगे दो पग पीछे साई तुम तक कैसे आए।
डियर स्वामी, लविंग प्रणाम्स एट योर लोटस फीट। रिस्पेक्टेड एल्डर्स, डियर ब्रदर्स एंड सिस्टर्स, साई राम टू ऑल ऑफ यू। हर पल हर क्षण भूल करे हम पग पग ठोकर काए। इन दोज गोल्डन डेज व्हेन आई हैड द अपॉर्चुनिटी टू सिट एट स्वामीज लोटस फीट एंड सिंग, दिस वाज वन भजन वी वुड सिंग बिफोर स्वामी। एंड व्हाट यू जस्ट हर्ड वाज द आलाप व्हिच वाज संग बिफोर द भजन। आई हैव ऑलवेज वंडर्ड अबाउट द मीनिंग ऑफ दिस आलाप बिकॉज इट स्टार्ट्स लाइक दिस। इट सेज हर पल हर क्षण भूल करे हम। स्वामी, ईच मोमेंट, एवरी सिंगल मोमेंट, स्वामी आई मेक मिस्टेक्स एंड आई सफर द कॉन्सिक्वेंसेज ऑफ दोज मिस्टेक्स, बट डू आई लर्न फ्रॉम दोज मिस्टेक्स? स्वामी, नो स्वामी। ईच टाइम, ईच सिंगल टाइम आई टेक अ स्टेप टूवर्ड्स यू स्वामी, आई टेक टू स्टेप बैकवर्ड। एक पग आगे, दो पग पीछे। And thus, Swami, my question to you is this.
Tum tak kaise aaye?
When each time I move forward, Swami, I move back two steps. How did I ever reach you, Swami? This is the same question I had at that time, and this continues to be the same question I have for Swami today. When I talk about Haripal Harikshan Bhul Kareham, what comes to my mind is a beautiful experience which a Sai brother of mine, a student brother of mine had. Once this brother felt that Swami was upset with him and felt that physically Swami was not interacting with him, and Swami would generally interact with this boy very frequently. But for a couple of days, which later on became weeks, Swami never spoke to this boy, and this Sai brother was very worried why Swami was not speaking to him. He felt that maybe he had made some mistake which had displeased Swami. And thus one day in darshan, he sat before Swami, he got up and said, Swami, I'm sorry, Swami. The moment he said, I'm sorry, Swami, with a quizzical look on his face, Swami said, Enduku, which means, for what? And again he said, Swami, sorry, Swami. And again Swami smiled and said, Enduku, for what? Now this brother was now very surprised. He went back home and maybe thought, maybe I never made a mistake, because I'm saying sorry to Swami, but Swami is asking me, why are you apologizing? So maybe I really didn't make any mistake, so maybe I should not have apologized at all. I unnecessarily wasted a sorry. But then Swami was still not speaking to him, so he decided to persist. And the next day, when he got his opportunity again, he got up and said, Swami, sorry, Swami. And again Swami said, Enduku, for what? And said, Swami, sorry, Swami, for the mistake I committed. Swami said, exactly, that is what I am also asking you. Out of the so many mistakes that you have done, for which mistake are you asking for pardon? So Enduku does not mean, why are you asking sorry? What basically it means is, of the many mistakes that you have committed, for which mistake are you asking for sorry? Harupal Harikshan Bhulakarehim. I don't think this was a story of just this brother. I think it's my story too. And that's why I ask you, Swami, Tum tak kaise aaye? And very beautifully, in the second part of this alap, Swami gives the response. Tum tak kaise aaye? The question ends there, and the answer starts after that. Karuna Sagar Parama Dayalu Sai. Swami, each time I take a step forward, I go back two times, and I consistently do that even today, Swami. But I've still reached you, Swami. Why? Because you are the ocean of compassion. Karuna Sagar, Parama Dayalu Swami. And thus, Swami, despite all my mistakes, I stand before you today in those hallowed premises, in a place which I believe is the sanctum sanctorum of the entire cosmos. Swami, I stand in the nerve center of the entire creation, in these very holy grounds where you walked physically.
So that was a small excerpt from talk by Brother Balram Chandran on Telugu New Year, Tamil New Year Day, April 14, 2014. And he sang the alap for you and the bhajan, which has this alap, is Bhagat Vatsalo Tero Naam. Harkshan, Harpal Harkshan is the alap for the bhajan. Bhagat Vatsalo Tero Naam Usai Dukh Bhanjan Tero Naam Usai. Tum Sang Bandhi Prem Ki Dori. Tum Sang Bandhi Prem Ki Dori. That's how this bhajan goes. And if you see the meaning, Bhagat Vatsalo Tero Naam Dukha Bhanjan Tero Naam, you are the one who is the compassionate one who is always for the devotees, who melts for the devotees, who is ever eager to remove the sorrows, to destroy the anxieties of the devotees, and says, Tumasanga Bandhi Prem Ki Dori, with you, Lord, I have tied on you this bond of love, this thread of love. We are bound, Swami. You know, that is how this beautiful bhajan goes. Very uplifting feelings. It talks about that indelible connection between the devotee and the Lord. And in fact, this is such a powerful feeling, this connection between the devotee and the Lord. I heard a very profound and insightful instance, a first-hand account, which demonstrates this connection, this bond, and this is from someone who has served Swami in various capacities for more than 50 years. I will narrate that incident towards the end of this session. But for now, let's proceed from where we left off last Thursday. April 4, 2014 was the 41st anniversary of Shivam, Swami's abode in Hyderabad. And so, on the immediate Thursday after this, on April 10th, that is last Thursday, in this program, we went back in time to the 1970s to contemplate on how this beautiful linga-shaped temple, Shivam, was created by Bhagwan. We discussed the amazing instances related to its genesis and growth and how Swami started the Sevadal movement in the city of Hyderabad way back in 1968. In fact, on one landmark evening in March 1968, Swami announced that soon Satya Sai Sevadal would be formed and interested applicants may fill in the application forms, and then Swami personally selected the first batch of Sevadals. So the very first group of Sevadals came into being on March 17, 1968. There are indeed pictures of that occasion. Swami seated in the middle, and on either side are standing these chosen group of Sai volunteers. Well, that was the beginning, and from then on Swami entrusted this group with many tasks, and the Sevadal movement grew from strength to strength, and especially in Hyderabad, with time the Sai youth formed a special group which took up many initiatives to help the poor and downtrodden, especially in rural areas. Swami indeed told them to form a separate trust, Sri Satya Sai Gram Seva Trust, and all the youth there undertook their activities under this umbrella and with the cooperation of the mainstream Satya Sai Seva organization, and they have been doing fantastic work. I was witness to one of their recent activities which happened just last month on March 22, 2014, and this was a unique workshop for the youth called University to Universality, Unlocking Success, a Life Skills and Values Workshop. It was conducted in an auditorium of Kakatiya University, one of the oldest universities of Andhra Pradesh in the city of Warangal. Now, what was really unique about this is, for the first time, a reputed university had invited the Sai youth to conduct a Life Skills and Values Workshop for their students. The university approached the youth. The youth did not go there to talk about values or Swami's principles. And how did this happen? Well, it has taken years of sincere and hard work by this band of inspired Sai youngsters. Sometime in 2004, they got this idea of doing a free computer skills training course just to help rural and underprivileged youngsters learn a few skills which would fetch them decent jobs. And that was a 54-day workshop, and the youth did it in the most economical manner. In fact, each of them brought their own computers from home and set up a lab in Shivam to teach these disadvantaged youth. And the amount of transformation they saw in these youth, not only in terms of gaining computer soft skills, but also the silent absorption of life skills, the change that they saw in these youngsters amazed them. And this transformation happened because all these rural youngsters were moved with the extent to which Sai youth stretched themselves to make their lives better. They saw the Sai youth who are actually highly qualified and working for prestigious companies do menial jobs in Shivam. They gave them so much time, so much attention, so much love, and all for free. And they were people whom society never bothered. But here, there were this group of youngsters who were willing to go to any extent so that these rural youth learn to stand on their legs and learn to make men, gentlemen out of themselves. So this really touched them. The what they saw had greater impact on them than what they were taught. So the transformation in them was immense, and the satisfaction in the youth who organized it was huge, and that only propelled them to continue this further And eventually they went on to do this program in 10 districts of Andhra Pradesh. They trained 3,000 students through computer skills program, and 5 to 6,000 students benefited through soft skills workshops. And these sessions taught all these rural youngsters about communication skills, about how to present themselves, how to plan their careers, how to prepare for job interviews, and along with all this, how to integrate values into their lives. And after a couple of years of doing these workshops, the Sai Youth Hyderabad got this idea of conducting a youth conference after visiting many colleges and inspiring many youth to contribute to nation building and lead value-oriented lives. And when they came to Swami to present their idea, this is sometime in 2009, Swami said, "How many colleges have you done already? How many colleges have you visited already?" And the youth had not even started, it was just an idea. And Swami went further and said, "You do this and come and I will see you after you have done the work." So that was the trigger point. And they went at it full steam. They visited many colleges. The movement acquired so much momentum, and they indeed reached a point where they brought hundreds of youngsters to Swami. All these youth who had never ever seen Swami, never knew Swami, they had their first darshan of Bhagwan in 2010. And you will hear the story of how this happened, how Bhagwan responded, how the youth took to Swami, and what were the impressions that they carried with them after they left Prashantalam. All this you will hear firsthand from a team of 4 Sai youth from Hyderabad in this last program of Thursday Life tonight, as you listen to me, Bishu, for Outside, Inside, Deep Inside.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, and today, Reprogramming Lives in Sai Shivam, the life-changing service initiatives by Sai Youth from Hyderabad. We will listen to the second part of this panel discussion. I played for you the first part last Thursday, where they shared about their computer skills workshop and the initial motivation received from Swami to undertake these projects. And today, in the second part, they go on to share, as I just mentioned, how they scaled it up to conducting comprehensive workshop for youth, which included imparting all kinds of skills, which helped the youth to not only learn how to earn a living, but also learn how to lead a purposeful life. And I got to speak to many of these participants of this comprehensive workshop, which was held in Warangal on March 22nd, 2014. I'll share some of those feedback with you. I also had the chance to sit down and talk to this organizing team of Sai Youth. In fact, after the village service program in Warangal, we sat down in an open quadrangle of a tiny village temple and we had this discussion. So you will find some background noise here and there as you listen to this, but nevertheless, it was really worth the effort, and it is a very fruitful discussion. So here it is, 4 brothers, Y. Srinivas, Gangadhar, Venugopal and Sai Golapudi, team members of Sai Youth Hyderabad. They sharing their journey of selfless service, the team's journey of selfless service with Bhagwan. How they had this memorable session with Swami in 2010, and what is the road ahead of them, even though now Bhagwan's physical form is no more there. So let's listen to the second part of the discussion with 4 Sai youth from Hyderabad about reprogramming lives in Sai Shivam.
So in 2010, Swami permitted you to come.
Yeah.
So by then you had conducted the first workshop?
The first comprehensive workshop, the one that you saw yesterday, similar kinds, was done in Ravindra Bharati Auditorium in Hyderabad, where close to 2,000 plus students attended. And so many colleges, our boys, our Hyderabad youth, they went to different colleges, addressed them, and many of these students, they came to this program. And then there was an intense desire in many of these beneficiaries that they should go see Swami, and you know, they wanted to draw inspiration and whatever. So we were trying to conceptualize something, and then to get Bhagavan's time and attention was difficult. So luckily, our fortune, I would call it that way, because it was one of those, in 2010, Swami was already withdrawn, and he was like communicating very less. And then in those times, it was very difficult. So we were not even expecting anything. So all we wanted was Bhagavan's darshan, that's all. And then Swami said, so when will these boys come? How many boys will come? We told Swami that, you know, Swami, they want to see you and they belong to you. And this is what we communicated to Swami. And then Swami said, okay, come in January 2010. So Bhagavan approved the dates. And then we didn't want to ask Swami to speak to them and all that. We knew that it's going to be difficult. And then a pleasant surprise was that we heard through Satyajit that Swami was very eager to speak to them, since they were coming for the first time. And then in Purnachandra, Bhagavan gave a special permission. And then how do we move 2,500 students to Prashant Nilayam? And they're all first-timers, they're all postgraduate students. And then it was a huge task in itself. So we had to talk to the railways, you know, book special trains both ways. And they said difficult, and some special approval. So we got an entire train booked to Prashant Nilayam. And the entire train was filled with postgraduate students that wanted to see Swami for the first time. And then in Purnachandra, the first question I remember Swami asked the students in his speech, he said, have you all come for the first time to see me? And then they said, yes. And Swami said, raise your hands. And then all the 1,200 students raised their hands. They say, we came to see you for the first time, Swami. And then Swami said, see, there's no difference between you and me. Don't think that I'm sitting in the throne and you're sitting on the floor. There's actually no difference. It's only that I know that I'm God and you do not know that you're God. And this is what Bhagavan told all the students. And they were so motivated, all these 1,200 students. They went back with so much of joy. And then that motivated us to do much more on the theme of university to universality.
Venu, can you please share a little more about what happened that day? Because if I remember right, Swami spent close to 2 hours with the youth there. And it did have an indelible impact on all the youth there. Because even today, whenever I speak to so many Sai youth of Hyderabad, they reminisce that day. So please share with us, what are your cherished moments of that session with Bhagavan?
It was pretty much 3 days of absolute joy for all of us. Actually, before the whole thing happened, we were kind of, like Brother Srinivas was saying, we were kind of surprised by the amount of interest that Bhagavan himself was showing. Our initial thought was that we will do a conference like that. We had done that thing in Ravindra Bharati, like Brother Srinivas was mentioning. So we had done it around October sometime. And by that time we had visited quite a few colleges, I think easily around 50 to 60 colleges by then or so. And we went with that data to Swami, and to tell you a little bit about how interested Swami was when we had the opportunity to show the data to Swami. He was actually looking at the numbers and he was asking how many of these are PG, how many are MSc, how many are MBA, and he was getting into those details. And he said, go visit more, inka cheskun randi, then we will see. And then he also said, speak to Chakravarti Garu, speak to Giri Garu. They were right behind him, right? He was saying, go speak to them also, and I will tell. That gave us a little more motivation that, wow, Swami is showing so much interest, we should do more, we should visit more colleges. And that time Swami said, I will also speak, but first you speak to them and then we'll see. So told them about the activity and then went back, did this thing, Ravindra Bharati, and came back to Bhagavan. We were coming back every time and Swami was continuing to show interest, so that kind of kept us motivated. Then finally he gave Brother Srinivas the dates and we finalized on. So 3 days, and 3 days of all the good time that we had with Bhagavan. So what happened was, the first major challenge was that all these 1,200 students, and believe me, we had to actually cut down the numbers. There were at least thrice as many students who were keen to come.
just one thought I remembered when Venu was explaining. Too many sign-ups were happening, and close to some few thousands of students wanted to see Swami. And then we didn't know how to cut down the numbers. And then we said, okay, the only way we can cut down the numbers is by telling the students that if you want to invest in your future, if you want to do something different, you know, draw inspiration from a place which has inspired millions of people. So you put in the cost, you take the time, you do the effort, and you come on your own. We are not going to fund any tickets. We are not going to give you any support on mobility to Puttaparthi, nothing. So if you are desirous of doing this, then we'll organize a trip, is what we told them. And then what was very, very amazing to me personally was night 10 o'clock, night 11 o'clock, even 10:30, I saw students lining up in Shivam for registering to go to Prashant Nila. And can you beat it? Can you believe that today's students, today's youth are so interested to invest and go see a place that will inspire people spiritually, people lining up, today's community, the city crowd, the metro crowd, you know, so to say, they lined up. And in the night 10:30, our Sai youth were registering them, and they were lining up, they were showing up daily, they were calling up, SMSs, that, this, and then lo and behold, the number came down to 1200 odd, and still we sliced down another 700.
And continuing on what Brother Srinivas was saying, so we actually had to put in some more restrictions, you know, first timers only, people who have never been to Parthi. Now that was another challenge, that's one way, but the other thing is that you don't know how they are going to behave. I mean, end of the day, they are all college students, and with all the uncertainty, the Telangana movement, the Hyderabad being the hotbed for the Osmania University, and all of that was also at its peak at that time, and yet Bhagwan had shown so much interest. The students were so interested. We wanted to be part of the beautiful moment of meeting of these students with Bhagwan, and so we were all very excited. We had prepared for some cultural activities. So there was a drama, there was a music program that our Shivam Bhajan group was involved in, and the youth who are musically talented were all involved in that. And then, so we obviously, coming to Bhagwan, we have to come and take the opportunity to present something. But what really blew us away was the amount of attention and care and love and concern that Bhagwan showed. From the moment we landed there, in fact, he arranged for special food. He, in fact, and we got to know this, that he actually dictated the menu of items that should be served in the South Indian canteen for these, you know, 1200 students who are coming. And then Swami arranged for white dresses for all of them. So that was another thought. So all, obviously all college students, we had to get special orders done from the stores for their whites. And so it was very, 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 very different. And the 3 days, another amazing thing I'll tell you, Swami had actually arranged for the speakers. It was entirely Swami's. Once it was, it was completely Swami's plan. So Swami arranged for the speakers. Swami decided on who should be speaking on that day in his presence. He decided on who should, and I remember he had mentioned Brother Sai's name, and Swami decided who should be the other speakers who should come and address all those youth. He in fact called Sanjay Sahni sir from Vrindavan, and Sanjay Sahni sir was actually, he told me later that he was busy with some other work, and still Bhagwan sent a message saying, no, you have to come for this and to give a talk. So it was absolutely mind blowing. It was amazing. Swami gave permission for us to use the Purnachandra auditorium, which is right next to his residence. The initial thought, the elders in the ashram had told us, no, you please use the double decker shed, which is quite far away so that Bhagwan does not get disturbed. And then, so we were mentally prepared that, okay, we have to do it there. And then Swami sent a message that, no, use the Purnachandra auditorium. And then after that, we get another message that Bhagwan wants to come and talk. That was quite something. And believe me, in fact, there was a situation where Professor Anil Kumar was doing a filler's job, waiting for Bhagwan to come. He was talking something so that, you know, there is enough time where Bhagwan can actually come and address the youth. And once Bhagwan arrived, and it was very different, because I remember around that time, Swami was hardly giving any discourses. We were told by the elders not to ask Bhagwan to speak. It was totally, Swami himself said that he wants to speak. And he spoke, it was 2-hour session, and almost 1.5 hours of that was Swami's talk. Swami had spoken for very long. After a long time I heard him speak for so long, and he was reluctant to go. And towards the end, I remember one of the elders walked up to him and said, "Swami, shall we end the session now?" You know, he was that keen, that, and he was full of energy. And he started softly, and then, you know, something I felt, I mean, this is maybe you could say youthful exuberance, but maybe the whole sight of so many youngsters just made Swami, and you won't believe, Swami spoke some amazing things that day. He noticed that, okay, this crowd, I have to get down to their level to start speaking to them. And he spoke about something on the movies. And he started speaking something about the movies, and then he mixed it up with spirituality. Then he interacted with a few youth. It was amazing. And the feedback that we got from the other youngsters after the session was over, and after, in fact, Bhagwan wanted to come down. He wanted to come amongst the crowd. And it was only when people around him advised him that it is not safe, please don't, then very reluctantly he left, I remember very well. And the best part was that after Swami left, and when we spoke to the youth, to all those 1200 newcomers, first timers, they felt so connected to Bhagwan. They were all in awe. Because our thought was, you know, Swami would have said something, but did they even understand? Do they even connect to what Swami was trying to communicate? But they were all totally in awe. And they all unanimously said that the best part of the whole program was Bhagwan speaking to us. And the next day again there was this music program, and again Swami gave us an opportunity. 3 days was, it just flew like a dream, you know. And Brother Sai would like to add something, because Swami had spoken to him personally also during that session. So Sai would like to add something.
I just wanted to share the type of activities that fall under the university to universality type theme that we've undertaken. We have worked on reprogramming lives, where the concept of programming and software work has been involved. Then we've done programs where we've labeled it as voices from the field. So we brought in experts from the industry, had them talk to youth about job skills and getting ready for employment, the soft skills area. And then we've done another program called Success Planning. These are kind of a range of our portfolio of projects we've been doing under university to universality. The bigger of all this is the campus sessions, where we go, sometimes up to 100 youth, go as Sevadal to interact with thousands of youngsters in districts. I want to share a little bit about the process that's involved in conducting this session. For example, in reprogramming lives, I remember the first time it was done. First, there is a advertisement, you know, saying that there is a free session that's being held. Usually it's about 30, 40 days, sometimes 80 days. And in this session, so we announce this, and then a whole bunch of youngsters come in, and there's a test that's offered. And in the first round, when the test is given, of course, many pass, but there are many who fail as well. So the selection is from not the passing grade, but from the failures. After noticing how many people fail and who has failed, then there is a one-on-one interview that's conducted to see whether the failed candidate can be helped, whether there is a family support, whether they can really benefit by this process. So there's a one-to-one interview that goes on. And once the one-to-one interview is done, then this candidate is selected. Once the candidate is selected, then there is overpouring of love on the candidate. When he's sick, people visit, they bring him on a bike, they have him cut cakes on his birthday, they do all kinds of celebrations to make him really enjoy and feel the love of Bhagwan. And mornings, it starts early in the morning. Sometimes, because the youth sevadal who are doing this, they have to go to work. So they do conduct workshops early in the morning, like 4 or 5 in the morning. And then the labs are open till late in the night. People come back after sessions. They commute for 1.5 hours sometimes to get to this workshop, to do the seva. And then in the evenings, they stay late. Weekends, we bring in guest speakers, and they talk about a variety of topics. And if you look at beneficiaries in this program, first, of course, the youth who are getting the program, the youngster who is getting the training, is the primary beneficiary. But the sevadal is the second most benefited person, because they learn a great deal in this process. Beyond the sevadal and the individual student, the parents are benefited, and the parents come back and then they say, we see a change in our child, we see a change in the type of person he has been, he's more seva oriented, he's more loving, he's showing more sattvic respect and sattvic tendencies at home. And after that, then we see the larger angle, which is the corporates and the samitis getting involved. So they are getting benefited. And at the end, we see the society, because they are hiring these people, and then they are saying, in fact, I remember one time standing by an elevator in one of the prominent IT companies, and then I went there, and then suddenly the elevator opens, and I'm here with actually the CEO of the company. And suddenly there are three people waiting. And typically the CEO is interested in, you know, he gets visitors, and often many people want to talk to him. But the three people humbly waiting by the elevator. And then I wanted to give chance for these three people to go talk to the CEO. But suddenly they approached me. And I was stunned. I thought, oh, you know, I'm not the celebrity here. They are the celebrity, I thought. But they approached me and they said, brother, do you remember us? One time you came and spoke, and we are from the Reprogramming Lives. We have done this. Now we got hired. We are in this company now. And so it's so pleasing. Even the CEO is very impressed, saying that, oh, so we've hired some people from this in our company. And so you could actually see the actual charm of this. There's one other incident I remember. There was one guy who just sort of touched our hearts with his story. He said that I, before the program, used to be a security guard. And I used to salute all these officers who used to come by my door. And I used to salute them because I was the security. But now I have reached a stage where I have a security guard who salutes me when I go to work. So these are some touching moments.
The other story, I think Gangadhar should probably talk about that. So Gangadhar, if you could tell that other story about the tea vendor thing.
Yeah, that's before the tea vendor thing, another interesting story it is. I mean, it is definitely heart-touching for everybody. And there was one boy who was from a rural village in Mehboob Nagar. So he saw this advertisement in the paper, and he enrolled himself into the program. So, like everybody, he went through the program. He was very hardworking. Most of the time, he was spending in front of computer, even after the theory sessions. So, he was spending almost 10 to 12 hours in Shivam. And he was a Muslim boy, okay? So, most of the time, he was spending in front of altar, sitting and practicing sessions. So, he also got a job, like everybody. He finished the two-month course. On the graduation day, he was on the stage receiving the offer letter from a company. And he called his mother onto the stage, and he made that employer give the offer letter to his mother. So his mother received the offer letter. She was very happy, and she requested that she would speak for a few minutes. Then she started narrating the story. That is when we understood the background of this boy. We were always surprised to, you know, why this boy was spending so many hours in Shivam. So his mother said, this boy left home 3 years back. He fought with his mother and he left home. And he was working as a tea stall boy, he was working as a watchman, he was doing all kinds of odd jobs in Hyderabad. He came to know about this course and he enrolled into this program. And after a successful completion, just before 2 weeks of finishing this program, he went to his mother. After 3 years, he touched her feet. He said, I made a very big mistake in my life by leaving you. I want you to take you back. So now I'm in the process of settling down. So after 3 years, he met his mother and he convinced her, saying that, no, I'm going to live with you now. And he said, all this I learned from Sri Satya Sai Reprogramming Lives. This is what I learned from this program. And this story she narrated on the stage. And she was so grateful to Bhagwan. Being a Muslim family, she bowed down in front of Swami and said, he's great. He's God. I believe that he's Allah. So he's the man who united our family.
Reprogramming Lives became Reunion of Lives.
And Brother Sai Vilappudi, you were talking about the moments that are cherished in your heart when you had the opportunity to be with Bhagwan in 2010, which Venu was sharing.
Yes, of course. Those are etched in my heart. And I remember it was a long night of work, and Swami was on the dais. And as I'm not used to staying up so late, I was very sleepy. So Swami up on stage dais, and I'm actually feeling sleepy, and I was worried because I get to snore, and I was worried that I would snore in front of Swami. So this was a big, big embarrassing moment for me. I was sitting there. Bhagwan was so gracious and loving. He was up there, and then suddenly he beckons me to come to the front, and then he starts conversing while he was giving his speech. And so I walked up to him, inched up to him, and as I was staring into his beautiful face, I was telling my mind, I am looking at God, and let me not forget that I am looking at God. Let this mind not distract itself. This is a moment that so many rishis have prayed for, and I am getting such an opportunity, let me not miss it. So I was telling my mind, be focused, be focused. And suddenly Swami was was giving a speech and he was asking me a question. And here I was attempting to give a response and my mind was chattering this. So suddenly I told myself, oh, three conversations are going on simultaneously. Then I said, stop, stop, focus, focus. And then so this was going on in my mind. And Swami asked, what is your name? And I usually call myself Sai Gollapudi here because there are so many Sais. And but at that moment when he said, what is your name? My name is also Sai Prasad Gollapudi. It's a rather long name. I shortened it by saying Sai Gollapudi. He asked that name. I immediately wanted to say Sai Prasad because my intention was to say, I am your gift, thy gift. So I said Sai Prasad. Anil Kumar sir was there. And of course, Swami had a different intent in asking that name. My intent was to be prayerful and to say Sai Prasad Swami, Sai Prasad. And so Swami wanted to teach us the lesson of your Atma. And so that conversation took place. You are the Atma, you are not the body. So he said, you are not the body. That is the, neeku pettina peru Sai, nee inti peru Gollapudi. Kani actually the Atma, he was saying. And in fact, he said, when you leave this place, you will not go through bazaar. You will directly go home. Like this, he was saying something. And then he said, when somebody asks you in the street, what is your name? What will you say? Tell them, you are the Atma. You are the Atma. That's what he said. And strangely enough, that day when the whole event was done, with all this excitement, I went back. And I was walking in neat step. I could recall, you will not go to a shop. You will not do this. He was saying that, and that I was recalling, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. I'm going. And suddenly, there's a gentleman who came across on the other side of the street and he said, hey, you are that person, and he recalled me from some earlier event. And then he said, what is your name? Just like Swami said, he says, what is your name? And so in my mind there was this dilemma. Should I say I'm Atma or should I say I'm Sai Gollapudi? At that time I remember saying, I'm Atma. Such an embarrassing thing because I never felt it in the core of my heart. I was just repeating it because Bhagavan has said it. So it was such a funny incident. But I feel, you know, it's a reflective moment. It was not a message for that moment and that street. I feel like that is a moment that I should meditate upon throughout my life. And perhaps it's my mantra for my sadhana. So I take it as that, and I am eternally grateful to Bhagavan for having had the opportunity to have such a beautiful interaction with divinity in such close proximity, and to touch him and to kiss his feet and to kiss his hand. People say that in the video they could hear the smooch as I, you know, because I could feel it, and I said, this is, I'm actually touching divinity. You know, such a beautiful moment it was to feel that and to come back here and then to see and to do this university to university program, where every moment I tell myself, it's like going into a vault and somebody saying, you can grab as much money as you want. And then I feel like I'll be greedy and I'll grab more and more and more and grab as much as possible and walk away. So I tell myself that when I'm doing this seva, I'm actually doing it for myself. This whole seva is for myself and I'm helping myself. So I feel like I want to be very, very greedy in giving and pouring out too much into this activity so that I'm actually able to grab as much punyam, as much grace, as much whatever that is good that is bound to come to us. I want to grab it all because he's giving me that platform, that opportunity, that occasion to do this. And so I'm very, very grateful that Bhagavan has blessed us with these grateful opportunities. And while doing this, I'm seeing that my fellow brothers, so talented, so much music, so much articulation, so much stage presence, so much dance, so much theme. And when they're doing this, I'm feeling like, oh my God, such a beautiful satsang I have. And I'll be a fool not to use this opportunity to rejuvenate and to help my own sadhana. I remember talking to the brothers. One of them yesterday was telling me in the Warangal program that when he was in the dance moment, he was sitting there, and while he was looking at the stage, he saw such an excitement in the audience that he was saying that at this point, my dharma is to do this dance. And as he was sitting there, he was saying that he had 2 seconds pause, and in that 2 seconds pause, he was doing Sai Gayatri. On stage, a dance performer doing Sai Gayatri, just so that he could give the best. And evening, some other brother was telling me that he prayed all night. Can you imagine? He prayed all night. And he prayed to his Ishtadevata, Hanuman, and he said, Swami, please come and grace this occasion. And not just in your regular form and then in your majesty. He said, come in every boy. Come in every boy's avatar. And come and sit and enjoy this program. He prayed and he felt the blessing of Bhagavan saying that, I will come, I will come. So that boy's prayer, this boy's prayer, our all tapana, has resulted in such a beautiful, rejoicing moment. And so we feel thrilled to have had this opportunity to be serving and to be getting that punya in our hearts.
Wonderful. There are plenty of thoughts in my mind as you share this. But I think since we've been talking for more than an hour, somewhere we need to draw the curtains. But before I end, Brother Srinivas, two questions. After the first presentation, which happened in the Ravindra Bharati Auditorium, after that you had this unforgettable session with Bhagwan in the Poonachandra Auditorium, and I know that would have definitely after that recharged everyone in the Sai Youth Group to take up new activities. So what were the occasions after that when you had these sessions for the youth? That is question one. And question two is, what were your takeaway lessons from the session you had yesterday in Warangal?
The takeaway lessons, we continue to learn, like every session, new inputs keep coming in, keep pouring in. As regards to yesterday, my takeaway yesterday was to somehow work on bettering the content, basically, because this is one full day of attention that we give them, and they may or may not interact with us in future. And the first objective and responsibility on behalf of the organization, being a responsible organization ourselves, Sathya Sai organization, expectations are very high. The moment you say Sathya Sai organization, the bar is very high. So we cannot give the content that any other small tutorial or a training institute does. So we have to give something much more than what others give as regards to the core content, core functional the subject expertise, whatever you call it. Beyond that, we have to blend it very nicely with what is the ideal thing that Swami was trying to impart through the Sathya Sai institutions and all. We keep learning, we keep reading what Swami imparted through EduCare and so many speeches Bhagwan has given in this context. So we try to as much as possible, but it's a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult thing to blend. See, the moment you talk about the human values, that you talk about compassion, you talk about love, the current day younger generation may see you as a spiritual, these guys are propagating their organization, or they might think that we are religious or things like that, or killjoys, you may call it whatever. So, but then what we are trying to do now, the recent learning has been that we should somehow talk about these values and explain to them that these are very useful for their worldly success as well. You know, to be truthful is very important to do well in the corporate space as well, not just as a human being, you know. To be compassionate is very important to when you have 100 subordinates working with you, right? So even these values don't just mean that you are a better human being or a better citizen. It's very pertinent to you to do well in the corporate space, because it sounds like music to them when you talk about values which will make them perform better in the corporate space, better salaries. Or this is the worldly context that these guys relate to. And then I think in that tonality, they appreciate it much more than the Sai Satsang tonality typically. So these are one of the things that we were debating. So on how to make it much more, how to blend it and make it very appealing to the contemporary youth of today.
So the Warangal thing was a culmination of so many years and series of programs. So if you can just give a brief overview of how many such workshops you have conducted after the first one in Ravindra Bharati. Yeah, Venu.
After Ravindra Bharati, actually not many, I think. Ravindra Bharati, and then we had the big one in Parthi. And then we did, yeah, many workshops, but at a university level. University level, this is the first one. In fact, this is the first time we are venturing out of the city, you know, the Hyderabad city as such.
We get a lot of requests to come to the universities and do it, but we don't go to many of the campuses to do it because we're concerned about multiple aspects when you go to the campuses, environment and the message. In fact, as Brother Vai Srinivas is saying, that we are in with such a pitiable state that we are saying that spiritual values are needed even for material life. Actually, it's usually the other way around. Material values can, you know, they should be so divine that we should say they're supposed to help you in spiritual value. So it's reverse. The world is in such a reversed position. But yet when we go to the universities and talk about this, so many brothers throng around us and then they say, oh, we're dying to hear such positive messages, such positive reinforcements. Then we know that the voice of God is coming, you know, that they were hearing.
So after that major thing in Ravindra Bharati, you have had so many workshops, but this was another a very landmark sort of occasion. It is a large event. So can you give us a brief background about how this event materialized?
In fact, this is the first time this event was not proposed by Sathya Sai organization. The request came from the university. And then the university vice chancellor had given us a call, and he said that, you know, so many students need these life skills, soft skills and value learnings. So such an organization is known for these kind of values, and there's a very good youth wing that can deliver such kind of programs. So can you do one such in our campus? We were pleasantly surprised, and because the request coming from them, and it's not organized, and we paid a visit to see the genuine intent. So we went to the university, met the authorities here, and then there was one devotee in this entire crowd, especially the personal assistant, the secretary of the vice chancellor, and he's a new devotee too. It's not that he knew Swami for many years, but then he had some urge that, you know, some good values should be brought into the system and help the students grow and things like that. Some genuine broadband interest he had. But then he didn't know where to get the answers from, and then he figured out through the youth wing, and he contacted us. So that's how all this happened, and when we went there, they were offering us a venue, and they said, you do it in our venue, we don't have to come to the center, you are welcome into the university, it's like that. So, and for the first time, we were pleasantly surprised, and going into the university and doing a Sai youth workshop is a thing in itself. And then many such youth meetings we conducted earlier, but it was all organized by us, and they came from outside for the first time yesterday in Warangal. We went into the campus, so, and literally, Swami winning over the thousands of young students there. I mean, you have seen it with your own eyes. So many people gave feedback, and some hundreds of students gave written feedbacks, and there were a few Muslim students too yesterday, and they were saying, you know, we want to be part of your organization. I was amazed, actually. I was reading through some of the feedbacks yesterday, and they want to be part of the Sai organization, being Muslims. This is just amazing. And what else you want? I mean, one day of transformational impact. Many wonderful things, I'm sure. See, what we're trying to now do is virtually create a connect, because every day we can't be with them. But then through a portal, through some kind of email connectivity, so we would want to engage further and make it more meaningful for them, and don't restrict ourselves to one or two interactions like this, so that the real benefit can be passed on in times to come.
Wonderful. And I think, as you mentioned, trying to maintain that contact is so vital. And now that you have set up this portal, saiyouth.org, I think that would be really a very effective way to stay connected. And yes, as you mentioned, I have seen it, and I had heard about it, but I have experienced it now, and it's really phenomenal to see what impact it can bring in the thought process of a young mind. And there is so much need for it. When you look at it, you see there is so much hunger for it, and now it has come to a stage where they are calling us, and I think it's really a very, very critical stage in our preparation in offering these programs, because the expectation is so high. They are now calling us, and as you mentioned, we need to constantly keep learning and really living up to Bhagwan's expectations. So thank you very much for your time. All the brothers, Venugopal, Gangadhar, Golapuri, and Vaishnavas. And let us pray to Swami that, you know, as days go by, we take this to a higher level. We should be in a position to go to any university in the world and offer Bhagwan's message in a manner that they remain touched, moved, and inspired. Thank you very much, brothers.
So that was the second part and the final part of the discussion with the four Sai brothers, Sai youth from Hyderabad. And as you heard, I did have the chance to talk to many of these participants who had come for this program in Kakatiya University in Warangal. And when I interacted with them, personally, for the first time, I got a sense, you know, first-hand experience of the tremendous impact that this workshop had on them. Because each one was so grateful. They were sincerely requesting that such programs should be done again and again, that it has opened up new vistas in their life, new perspectives in their thinking, new ways of how you can remodel your life. And each one was so inspiring. I'll just play a couple of them for you now.
Na peru Geetanjali, madhi Sri Arunodaya degree and PG college. ఇక్కడ వాతావరణం చాలా బాగుంది. ఇక్కడ పర్ఫార్మెన్సులు అవన్నీ చాలా బాగా నచ్చాయి మాకు. మాలో షేరింగ్ పద్ధతి అంటే ఇప్పటి వరకు చాలా.
సో షీఈస్ గీతాంజలి ఫ్రమ్ అరుణోదయ ఇంజనీరింగ్ కాలేజ్, అండ్ షీ సేస్ దట్ ఐ హావ్ లెర్న్డ్ టు షేర్. బిఫోర్ దట్ ఐ డిడ్ నో దట్ యు నో షేరింగ్ కుడ్ బి ఎ వే ఆఫ్ లైఫ్, బట్ నౌ ఇట్ ఈస్ the attitude of giving has become a part of me, and that is the new thing that I have learned after coming to this program. So that is Geetanjali. So similarly, you had so many youngsters Let me play for you one more. This boy's name is Krishna.
Na peru Krishna, University Arts and Science College, Kakati University. ఈ ప్రోగ్రామ్ ద్వారా ఒక విద్యార్థి ఊరికే ఏదో టైం పాస్ కు ఏదో తన ఎందుకు చదువుతున్నాడో తనకు తెలియకుండా కొందరు విద్యార్థులు చదువుతున్నారు. ఈ ప్రోగ్రామ్ వల్ల నాకు తెలిసింది ఏంటంటే ఒక విద్యార్థి
తన సో హీ సేస్ ఐ ఎమ్ కృష్ణ అండ్ మెనీ టైమ్స్ వెన్ యూఆర్ స్టడింగ్ మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద స్టూడెంట్స్ డూ నాట్ నో వై దే ఆర్ స్టడింగ్ యు నో వాట్ ఇస్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ ద ఎడ్యుకేషన్ అండ్ హియర్ హీ సేస్ ఆఫ్టర్ కమింగ్ హియర్ ఐ రియలైజ్ వాట్ ఇస్ వాట్ షుడ్ బి అవర్ గోల్ అండ్ హౌ వీ షుడ్ బి స్టెడ్ఫాస్ట్ టువర్డ్స్ అవర్ గోల్ హౌ వీ షుడ్ వర్క్ ఫర్ అవర్ గోల్ ఐ లైక్డ్ ఇట్ సో మచ్ and I want to persevere and attain my goal. So that is Krishna. Similarly, I met another youngster. Her name is Shivani. And she shared what are the skills and what are the new things that had impact on her.
I'm Shivani from SR Engineering College. The best part of the session was the HR people speaking what the skills you need while attending an interview, knowing about yourself, having a goal. You should have a clarity of your goal for achieving success. That was the main thing we learned.
So Shivani, let me move on. I'll play for you two more clips. The next one is Shrikant.
నా పేరు శ్రీకాంత్, నేను కాకతీయ యూనివర్సిటీ స్టూడెంట్, ఫిజిక్స్ డిపార్ట్మెంట్. క్యాజువల్ గా ఒక యూనివర్సిటీలో గానీ ఏదైనా ఇన్స్టిట్యూషన్కి వెళ్తే మనకు సబ్జెక్టు మాత్రమే నేర్పిస్తున్నారు ఇటువంటి సమాజంలో, కానీ ఇటువంటి ప్రోగ్రామ్స్ ఫంక్షన్స్ అనేవి చాలా
ఇంపార్టెంట్. మై నేమ్ ఇస్ శ్రీకాంత్ అండ్ ఎనీ కాలేజ్ ఆర్ యూనివర్సిటీ యూ జాయిన్, వాట్ ది జనరలీ డూ ఇస్ దే టీచ్ యూ ఓన్లీ సబ్జెక్ట్స్, బట్ here we have learned very important things about personality development. Whether you work in a government sector or whether you work with the in a private sector, communication skills and all these other soft skills are so vital, and this is going to help us. It doesn't matter whether we are working in a private sector or in government service, and I really request that such programs are being conducted again and again, and I hope that they'll accede to our request and conduct more such programs. I have benefited immensely. As I mentioned, you know, every time I spoke to these participants, each one was giving a new perspective. For example, there was one more youngster. He said that, I never ever thought that there could be people in this world who are so selfless. Here I am seeing so many people selfless. I thought everyone is actually busy thinking about themselves. But I never knew that, you know, someone can lead a life where selflessness can be such an integral part of their personality. And there are some others who said they want to join politics now. They said, yeah, we want to join politics because we want to be a good politician. The country needs good politicians and we want to bring a change, and we can do that if we become a politician. We become a good politician. There is another student who said, I want to become a good teacher because if I become a good teacher, I will be able to mold a generation. I'll be able to help so many. So there were all these students so inspired. Just at the end of one day, the change that had happened in their thinking was absolutely so heartening. Let me play for you one last response.
Naveer Prashant, Kakatiya University, MCom. ఈ ప్రోగ్రామ్ ద్వారా నేను నేర్చుకున్నది అంటే, అసలు ఉద్యోగం అనేది కాదు, మనిషి పర్ఫెక్ట్ గా ఎలా ఉండాలి అంటే, ఏ రంగంలోనైనా ఒక పర్ఫెక్ట్ ఒక లక్ష్యాన్ని చేధించాలనుకుంటే.
సో హీ సేస్, మై నేమ్ ఇస్ ప్రశాంత్. వాట్ ఐ హావ్ గ్యాదర్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వర్క్ షాప్ ఇస్ దట్ ఇన్ లైఫ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ జస్ట్ జాబ్. వాట్ ఈస్ నీడెడ్ ఇస్ అ హైయర్ పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్. We have to become a complete man. We have to have discipline in life, and that disciplined life is what will take us to a higher goal in life. And that is what I have gathered. So that is Prashant. So like this, I just played for you only 3-4 responses, and they received hundreds of responses because all of them filled up a form. In fact, we are going to have a story on this on the website where we'll have the opportunity to present many more such moving responses. But the long and short of it is, just one day of orientation to Bhagwan's teachings, exposing them to a higher ideal, exposing them to how different and how joyful their life can be. I had so much of impact because it was done with so much of sincerity, and Swami's message is so powerful. So it's really, as I mentioned, such a beautiful feeling to see what difference the Sai Youth of Hyderabad are doing in the lives of hundreds and thousands of youngsters, and this is going on. Swami triggered it. Swami gave all the encouragement to them in 2010 when Bhagwan had almost withdrawn a lot, but he spent more than 2 hours with them. When Bhagwan was not speaking, he spoke with them for 1.5 hours. So that was the interest Bhagwan showed in this program. Bhagwan is so keen about this movement, and today that is perhaps the reason why it is only growing in leaps and bounds, and perhaps this is the way forward. If you want a better India, if you want a better world, what we need is enlightened youngsters who would tomorrow become those enlightened citizens who will build the nation. And that is what we see. That is what you get a sense of. You feel so happy and elated when you participate or be a witness to these sessions. And there are so many stalwarts of service in the Satisai organization in Hyderabad. I was mentioning to you how the Sevadal movement started in Hyderabad way back in 1968, and one of the persons who have been there right from the inception, the first batch of Sevadals, is Mr. B.V. Raman Rao. Bhagwan blessed him with plenty of opportunities. He was Bhagwan's personal servitor. He used to sleep in Bhagwan's room also. There were occasions. And Bhagwan gave him the chance to be the All India coordinator for service activities. And he was in this role guiding the service movement in India for decades. And he was very actively involved in various activities inside the ashram. And even today, even though he's 89 years old, he's the current editor of the Telugu Sanatana Sarathi. And yesterday I had the chance to talk to him, and he narrated some of his beautiful reflections on how Swami inspired each one of them from that right from the first batch of Sevadals, from the beginning, how Swami motivated them to participate and give their heart and soul to selfless service. I'll just play for you a short clip from what I recorded yesterday with him in his room. And after this, as promised, I will narrate to you that profound incident he shared. And that is something which will leave all of us to ruminate on. And in fact, that is something Swami also mentioned to Sai Golapudi as he was talking. So I'll come to that in a moment. For the moment, let's listen to this clip of Mr. B.V. Raman Rao.
Political leaders and great religious leaders, they have been crying from the housetops, see, service to man is service to God. But Swami has physically involved himself. He has personally set an example in doing service. This is one thing which we had the greatest advantage. We have not learnt anything from hearing somebody's lectures. Swami has demonstrated every bit of service. See, in fact, in those good old days, and there used to be construction work going on here, and all the devotees, they used to participate, carry, see, they girdle their loins and then hold the baskets of cement mortar or whatever it is, brick or whatever it is, and do all this physical manual work without any hesitation. That's the inspiration which he has given. See, his personal participation, he used to sit there, and when once we all start working, he will come with some sweets or something, and he will start talking to people, and then finally he will pick up some people and give them also interview and all that. So like that he used to endear himself. And another thing is, there is no God, there is no man who has made himself so accessible to a common man as Swami. Have you ever seen the so-called religious leaders? See, you go in a queue, he will stand, he will sit somewhere in a place, and you go and offer your obeisances. Whereas Swami goes around the people, and then he will pick up the letters, he will talk to them, he will pick up the people for giving interviews, he may talk like that, you know. That he has impressed everybody. And is there any place, any religious center, any other pilgrimage center, or any temple for that matter, see, where people have got direct access? So you have to go through so many hurdles. Whereas everybody is just walking. And you don't have any hundi system or middleman or agent or ticket system or anything. Straight away you walk in, and then when once you people see working, the Sevadal has been built up by Swami. First thing, by himself demonstrating. Because how he used to explain to us what kind of activity we have to do. And he used to demonstrate, tell us, inspire us. And when once we start doing things, and when more people come, they are inspired by what we do. He has set a hospital, and when once we bring doctors, he won't ask them to, he will ask them to see the hospital for its working. But he won't ask them to build a hospital in India. That's right. He will tell them, look, you are a doctor. You have got 7 days in a week. 1 day you spend with your wife and children. 5 days you earn, you do your practice. 1 day you do free service.
Wonderful. I think that is very beautiful. 1 day give it to your family, 5 days give it to your professional work, and 1 day give it to selfless
service. He says, I'll wipe off all your sins and all your things with that 1 day, so long as you sincerely do it, as though they are paying patients. You sincerely do it, help them. That's the way how he used to inspire. What is the source of inspiration? Swami. He used to explain, he used to inspire the doctors. That's the greatest thing.
So that was Mr. B.V. Raman Rao just sharing how Swami used to inspire them. In fact, as I mentioned to you, as I was talking to you yesterday, he narrated a very beautiful incident. Many years ago, as the Guru Purnima celebrations were going on in Prashant Nilayam, Swami was extremely busy attending to the hundreds and thousands of devotees who had gathered to bask in his presence. And during this period, one morning when Mr. Raman Rao went up to Bhagwan's room, he saw that Swami's robe was wet with sweat and Swami looked visibly very tired. In those days, Mr. Raman Rao, who is currently, as I mentioned, the editor of Telugu Sanatana Sarthi, he had the opportunity to be Bhagwan's servitor. So he had the chance and the access to Bhagwan's bedroom. In fact, on that day, Swami had a late lunch as he was busy. And that afternoon, when Mr. Raman Rao went to his presence again, he saw that Swami is already ready to go out for granting darshan. It was not even 3 p.m. So, as soon as he went to Swami's room, he sat down and he started massaging Bhagwan's lotus feet. And he pleaded, Swami, you have already had a busy morning and you ate your lunch so late, you are so tired, and now you are again about to step out. You did not have any rest at all, Swami. Swami, please do not go out for darshan in the evening. Today, please do take rest. And the moment Swami heard this, he immediately said, rest? Rest is rust. Have you ever seen me taking rest? Change of work is rest. This is what Swami said. And recalling that moment, Mr. Raman Rao told me how he has personally been a witness to Swami never taking a moment to simply relax, doing nothing. He told me, I can tell you with firm conviction that Swami never sleeps. God never sleeps. And he said, I was fortunate to sleep inside Swami's room for over 30 days in 1993, and I would be lying down perpendicular to Swami's cot, and I have never seen Swami sleep. Even in the middle of night, if I went out to use the restroom, he would be watching. He was alert, he was active 24 hours a day, always. So going back to that afternoon, he continued the story and said, so he insisted that day, Swami, please take it easy, Swami. This afternoon, please do not venture out for darshan. And Swami shot back, you think all these people have come for my darshan? Are they here so that they can see me? Wrong. Absolutely wrong. And Ramana Rao sir was bewildered. I mean, if all these people are not here for Swami's darshan, then why on earth have they gathered? And Swami then looked deep into Ramana Rao sir's eyes and emphatically asserted, listen, it is I who is going to have their darshan. They have all come at my instance so that I can see them. And when Mr. Ramana Rao heard this, he thought to himself, this is really exaggeration. In Telugu, the word exaggeration is called atishayokti. So he was, in his mind, what was coming was this word, atishayokti. He felt Swami was simply exaggeration. I mean, Swami is saying that he is coming to have the darshan of devotees. He is having devotees' darshan. This is what occurred in his mind. And right at that instant, Swami turned to him sharply and said, you think it is atishayokti? And Ramana Rao was startled. He was shocked. His mind just went blank. His body became still. And then Swami explained, when I go amidst the devotees, I don't look at their bodies. When I see them, I see their past, I see their present, and what I should do for their better future. Unfortunately, you look at me as the one with this body, but I don't look at all of you that way. And even before Mr. Ramana Rao could absorb the profundity of the message and the immensity of that moment, Swami went on to add, every time I speak to you, I address you as Divyatma Sarupalara, embodiments of divine Atma. Do you think I do this simply to praise you or to please you? I mean it. You are all Atmas. And that is how I always see you. Unfortunately, Swami sees us how we should be seeing Swami. More often than not, we see Swami as a body, when we should be seeing Him as the Supreme Soul. And Swami sees us as the soul, when we don't even think that we are the soul. The Supreme Soul always tender to us and continues to look after us as beings of divine light, as blessed souls inside human bodies. Even though we live and conduct as if we are nothing but these bodies, often we don't recognize ourselves as spiritual beings having a bodily experience, and we think we are human bodies who once in a while are having spiritual experiences. The sad part is that we not only restrict ourselves to our mere human bodies, but sometimes even reduce the Supreme Soul to mere 5-foot-3-inch body, the body of Satya Sai. Mr. Ramana Rao, who basked in the close proximity of Swami for more than 50 years, now with all vigor and energy he can muster in his 89-year-old physical frame, he declares, Swami is God. Where is the question of He being there or not? Have you stopped praying to Rama or Krishna or Buddha after they left their earthly vestures? He is there. He is omniscient. He is all-pervasive. And one can connect with Him at any time. And he says, I feel His presence every day, just like I used to feel before. Other day I was speaking to Mr. Ajit Popat from London, again a very long-standing devotee of Swami, and he said, I connect with my Sai all throughout the day. Every morning when I do Suprabhatam, I think of Him. And I thank Him for yet another day when I am alive and when I can relate to Him. When I sit for my morning prayers, I visualize the morning darshan, Swami gliding on the sands, taking letters, blessing someone, caressing someone, and finally with a beautiful smile going into the inner chambers of the mandir. Before I begin my lunch, I again thank him for all the energy he gives me by feeding me. In the evening after return from work, I once again sit down in front of him and heartfully share everything that has happened in the office. For me, my Swami is not a concept. He is living. He is very much alive. In the night, I offer myself to him and rest in his lap. God is really so simple. My connection with him too is so simple. So dear listeners, let us in this spirit simplify our lives, or rather sci-fi our lives. We have Wi-Fi, but what we really need to do is sci-fi our lives. Let's see Sai everywhere. Just like Swami sees in us only reflections of himself, we too should see only Sai in others. And when can we see Sai in others? We can see Sai in others only when we begin to Sai within ourselves. Only when we begin to feel Sai within ourselves. So let us hope and pray that there will come a day when Swami, looking at us from the highest heavens, will flash a beautiful smile and say, "My dear one, you are truly golden. I am proud of you. I love you." And I think there can be no better tribute we can pay to our merciful Lord than this. The best way to love all, to love God, is to love all, serve all. This is what the Sai youth have been doing. And this is what we should be doing. Seeing only Sai in everyone and in everything around. Let us sci-fi our lives. With these thoughts, I will leave you on this beautiful Thursday. 1 week from now, we will celebrate the Aradhana Mahotsavam Day. And let us spend this week ruminating on the powerful form, on the powerful love that radiates from that beautiful form of Satya Sai. And let us see reflections of this form in everyone around. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. If you have any queries or suggestions, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. In a couple of moments from now, you will listen to a drama entitled Yoga for Salvation, presented by students of Sai schools of Gujarat. This was presented in front of Bhagwan on 18 June 2009. So finally, from all of us at Radio Sai, a sweet goodbye and loving Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam. Keep listening, keep enjoying. Immerse yourself in this world of Sai love. Sai Ram.